The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I got another one for you. Nadolig Chlawen.
Nadolig Chlawen.
It's in Welsh. All right, this is a reading from the New International Version. I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Peggy. So 8 years ago now, I think, was when I was ordained as a minister, and that involves a service. And at the time, my children were very small. And one of my friends who was a photographer caught this wonderful picture of my younger daughter, Rosie, praying. And we have did we end up adding it here? Yeah, we have a very kind of cut picture because we no longer have the original. But this is what we have. And there she is just fervently praying at this moment during the service. We have another little girl in our congregation now who prays, I would say, with equal fervor and earnesty when we have our Sunday school time, our children's time at the front. Thank you. You can take that down. There's something about those moments of earnesty, earnestness within children that just, for me, helps remind me of the divine. And I wonder sometimes if that's the reason why God chose to enter the world as a baby instead of some other way. It's God. God could have chosen any way God wanted to, but God chose to come into the world as a baby. And in many ways, the story is extraordinary. There's this miraculous conception. There's these dreams that people have and visions. There's angels that appear. We have visitors from afar. All these things happen. And yet, there's something deeply human about the story as well. Extraordinary, if you will. When the angels come in all of their glory to talk to the shepherds, did you notice the signs that they're supposed to look for? It's not a halo over the baby, which is often how we see Jesus depicted in pictures. It's not the star, a bright light. It's not giant neon signs pointing this, look here, look here. It's a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger or a feeding trough. Maybe signs that are not that unexpected in a town that is full to the brim of people who have come for a census. For all of the spectacular, the signs that the shepherds are told to look at are remarkably ordinary. But the extraordinary of the ordinary in that story is that it's enough. They go, they find the baby just as they were told. They meet Mary and Joseph. And it says when they had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They arrived, they saw this baby, and they said, yep, those angels were right. And they went and told anyone they could find what had happened. And it makes me wonder. Now, you are here perhaps for a variety of reasons. Some of you are here because you have a deep and abiding faith in Jesus, and this is the place you want to be on Christmas Eve. For some of you, this is your family tradition. This is part of how you celebrate Christmas. Some of you are here out of love for your family or your friends. Some of you maybe didn't have anywhere to be tonight and you wanted somewhere with other people where it was warm and joyful. Whatever your reason that brought you here this evening, I'm glad you're here. I hope that you find some joy and some peace and some love while you are here. I understand because you're here that does not necessarily mean that you follow Jesus, and that's okay. But I do want to ask you a question. I want to invite you to ponder something as Mary ponders what happens to her. You might talk about it with your family on your way home. You might keep it in yourself. If you are someone who believes in God, what are some of the things you see that help you know that God is real? What are the signs that you notice that help enforce and reinforce your faith? And if you are not someone who believes in God, what kind of sign would change your mind? What would make you rethink that conclusion that you've drawn? I think it's fascinating. For the shepherds, all it took was a baby and his mother and a promise of peace.
Good evening and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Tonight, we are reading from John 1 in the NIV version, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was with the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you. All right, we need a little bit of participation here. What is your favorite Christmas song? You can yell it out if you like. Last Christmas. Little Drummer Boy? Grandma got run over by a reindeer. All right, proof that Santa lives, as far as I can recall. Do you hear what I hear? Hark the Herald. Feliz Navidad. Carol of the Bells. What child is this? Mary, did you know? I'll be home for Christmas. Just want to make sure you knew you were included, choir.
I can't pick one.
Hmm?
I can't pick one.
Okay, you can't pick one. It can be hard. There's lots. Maybe it depends on your mood, right? But certainly a key part of Christmas is our music. Now, you may wonder why we read the beginning of John. We don't normally read that on Christmas Eve. But believe it or not, that passage that we heard is one of the earliest Christian hymns, we believe, along with a little bit of commentary added from our friend John, who put it in there. And so in some ways, you could even consider it one of the first Christmas carols, although it wasn't written specifically with Christmas in mind. But it is John's version of the birth story. John knew that Christians already had Matthew, they already had Luke, they already had the details of the infancy story. But John wanted to make a different connection. In the beginning, you might think of in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. It starts the same way as the Greek translation of Genesis. John wants to take us all the way back before the world was created to say, even then, Jesus was there. We could call this song an ode to logos, which is the Greek word we translate word. And the problem is, as is often the problem, language is limited. And when John was writing to his early Greek, Greco-Roman readers, they knew logos from Stoic philosophy. And in Stoic philosophy, bear with me for a moment if philosophy is not your thing, logos was the underlying logic of the universe, the force behind all of the beauty and rhythm of life. For the Stoics, logos was the very foundation of everything they considered good and pure and beautiful. And that logos, that logic and beauty of the universe became flesh, John says. He lived in the world. But John doesn't entirely forget the infancy story, but you have to look a little carefully to hear it. In verse 12 and 13, John says, "To those who believed in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." And if you think of our story from Matthew and Luke, Jesus was the first one to fit those criteria. Jesus, it says, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, not of natural descent, but supernatural descent. Jesus was not conceived because of human decision. Mary didn't say, "I'm ready to get pregnant." The angel came and said, "Mary, you're ready to get pregnant, and I'm going to do it." Most of the time in those days, it was the husband's decision when his wife would conceive, as far as it was possible. He ruled all. And yet here, it was not Joseph's will that caused her to be pregnant, but that of God. Jesus defied all of the natural order in order to come into this world. But John says all of those who become children of God are like Jesus. But I think, unless you have a really remarkable birth story, all of us here were born of human descent, by human decision, maybe not by a husband's will, but with two partners involved. So what does it mean for us to be part of the family of God without those things? Well, natural descent means it doesn't matter who our family is from a perspective of being part of God's family. God welcomes everyone, regardless of where we're from in the world, what our family situation looks like, who we love, how we have been raised. God says, "You are welcome." When it comes to human decision, it's true, we make a decision to follow Christ. But one of the things we learn is it's only possible to follow Jesus because of something we call God's grace, God's infinite capacity to forgive, which God offers freely with no price, offers it unconditionally and for unlimited time. Our decision is simply to accept it or to reject it. But the existence of God's grace is independent of the decisions we make. And we become part of God's family without our husband's will, our parents' will, our friends' will. Nobody can make the decision on our behalf to follow Jesus. No force of manipulation, no force of coercion can produce sincere faith. God wants us freely and joyfully to come and be part of God's family. And so all are invited to be children of God. At Christmas, when Jesus came, he recreated what it meant to be part of God's family. He redefined, he reimagined what family could look like and who could be part of it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.